Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you so very much.
Okay. Welcome, everybody. This is Doug Kelly with Paranexus Universe. Everything dropped out here just as we were about to say hello. We're getting everybody back on here, so give us just 1 minute. We do welcome you to Paranexus Universe. Today is Thursday, September 4th, 2008. I'm Doug Kelly, and I've got my good friend and co-host on here with me. Grant, how are you?
Good. Welcome, everybody. It's nice to have you with us.
Yeah. Now, a couple of changes on tonight's show. We had scheduled Bill Ryan and Kerry Cassaday from Project Camelot, but even though our attempts to contact them, we just were not able to get a hold of them. So don't know what happened, don't know where they're at. So we're going to do something a little bit different tonight. We're going to invite a friend of ours, Spirit Team member Mike Jones, and he's going to talk to us about his new website and some of the different things he's been going through regarding aliens and abductions and so forth. So, Mike, welcome to Paranexus Universe.
Well, hello, everyone.
Hey, Mike, it's nice to have you here.
Thanks.
So, if you've got any questions, join us in the chat room. If you want to call in and ask Mike any questions or any of us, you can do that. The number is 347-945-7799. I'll put it in the chat room as well. And let's start off, Mike, with your website. You recently launched a website. Can you tell us where it is and what it's about?
Yeah, the URL is www.alienabductee.org. I have started this website mainly to provide an outlet for all abductees to come out and pretty much find someone to talk to for a change instead of being feeling the outcast, as it were. The main goal I'm trying to achieve, actually, is public awareness, and then again, like I said, you know, making sure the abductees understand that they're normal people too, and that we're trying to find some kind of resolution in the situation. Actually, I'm thinking that the more evidence we can gain, the better foothold we might be able to, you know, have in getting resolution on it. So,
sounds good, man. So where are you out of, Mike?
I'm out of Maumelle, Arkansas.
Okay. And that's how far from where?
As in, about...
Close to Big City.
As in the crow flies.
I'd say 5 miles outside of Little Rock, Arkansas.
Okay. So in the greater Little Rock area then?
Yeah, that's pretty much the suburbs, right?
Okay, cool. So why... You know, why the abduction website? Why? What spawned that? What's your motivation there?
Well, for me personally, I have been dealing with this all my life since childhood. And the biggest thing that I experienced, and I know all of, you know, all the other abductees can pretty much testify to this, is you are the odd man out, or you know, odd person out. Regardless of how good your social skills are, you still have to deal with this on a weekly, daily basis. You never know, you know, what's going to happen next. You just feel like the outcast. On top of dealing with post-traumatic stress syndrome, and you know, there's other things you're going to be dealing with. And you know, for myself, I had to learn the hard way how to pretty much indoctrinate myself back into society to where I could function, you know, fully. I could, you know, hold down a job. I can have a normal life. You know, nothing. You know, even though all the odd things are happening to me, I'm still being productive. I'm still happy with who I am. I'm not going through all the horrible social things that I was, mainly because how I carry myself and the things I discovered pretty much along the way through hardship. And so my website is pretty much to produce a place that will allow people to learn from each other on how to solve, you know, simple everyday life skills that you may have to acquire in dealing with this. As of right now, there is no answer to it. You know, nobody has actually figured out how to make it stop. So the main thing that I'm trying to achieve here is by getting all the abductees together in a forum, hopefully we can actually start coming up with some answers and maybe eventually get the public to be aware of it instead of being looked at as whack jobs, you know.
And certainly offering each other the support in a friendly environment where there'll be no ridicule.
Exactly. That's the main thing that starts the entire process of being singled out and not, you know, being able to carry on normal friendships, normal relationships. I mean, it's nearly impossible just by the psychology involved in it. You're just literally pretty much out. You're an outcast. That's the best way to put it.
Well, it's kind of tough to tell people because most people probably look at it as, you know, if you tell them that that you've been abducted, they probably look at you like you just got off the happy farm.
Exactly.
And treat you that way, most unfortunately. When many people like yourself, and I've had the privilege of talking to you about this, are very puzzled, very, very perplexed about the whole interaction and the experience that they're having.
Exactly. For a better word of it, it's interesting in itself, but at the same time, it's extremely frightening. You have nobody to rely on to go talk to. I myself have actually found one good friend in my entire life that I can actually rely on, not to pass judgment on me. So, you know, that was my outlet. Outside of that, I've pretty much had to harden myself, for a better term of it, on a social level.
Hey Grant, I wanna live on the happy farm.
No, it's real peaceful. It's also called the Brain Ranch, Doug, and I bet you they've got a reservation for you out there. If you don't quit playing with that Ouija board,
yeah.
Not only is Skype gonna get you, but the happy farm will too.
Yeah. Skype got us last week. Tonight, it'll be good. And speaking of that, one thing I did forget to mention, and now that we have a few more on, I just want to reiterate that our guests for tonight, Project Camelot, we were just unable to get a hold of them, even though the show was scheduled. Don't know what happened. Can't even venture a guess. So Mike Jones is going to help us out tonight and talk about his site, his experiences, and so forth. And because of that, tonight's going to be an abbreviated show. We're going to keep it to about an hour. Mike, I have a question.
Okay.
You were talking about your site, the support, et cetera, and just to really focus in on this one point, what makes your than anybody else's, than all these other sites that are out there?
Well, the one thing I've noticed for all the other sites, it's pretty much just a social occasion.
Okay, everybody, we're back. I guess I shouldn't have been too quick to praise the Skype gods. I guess I didn't send my prayer out before we started, Grant. You know, that's probably the whole problem.
Small creatures, Doug, and that's what's causing all of this.
Yeah, I know. It's just one of those things. So let's get back to the question. There's a number of abductee sites out there, Mike. What makes your site different than the other sites?
Well, like I was saying earlier, I've actually been monitoring sites trying to find, you know, a resource for myself, you know, just to go out and have a place to at least be able to voice my opinions, voice what's happened to me, maybe actually find some answers. Well, the only thing I've been running into with all of them, and interestingly enough, you know, they're getting good data. There's nothing wrong with what they're doing. They're doing a good job at that, but they're not resolving the social issues that abductees have to deal with. They're not allowing the abductees to actually come to their own conclusions. And that's one thing I'm trying to actually set up here is have an outlet for everybody to get together, perhaps even, you know, like I said, come to a resolution, you know, and who knows.
Uh-oh.
So.
Well, great. Let's tell us about how this all started.
Well, my first memory.
Okay, folks, we're back. This time, I don't think it was Skype. Blog Talk Radio just got dropped, and nobody else did. So, all right. Mike, back to your earliest memories. Can you tell us about that a little?
Earliest memories I actually have were flashes of memory of seeing little men with big eyes, seeing a praying mantis-looking figure. And that was back at first I thought it was around 5 or 6 years of age, and then after the regression I found out that it was 4 years of age. Found out that it was actually a praying mantis looking. You guys there?
Yeah, keep going, Mike.
Okay. And anyway, it was a praying mantis looking entity that was evidently controlling Grays that had abducted me at 4 years of age. I pretty much got picked up at, I was in bed and got picked up and pretty much floated out of the house, and that's of course memories of it.
But you floated how out of the house?
Well, we literally floated through the wall. That was pretty intense, actually. So.
How do you know? Talk about that. Tell them about the regression.
Oh, regression. Okay. Yeah, I'd had regression done. This image had haunted me all my life, among other things that later on cued me into knowing I was being abducted. When I got regressed, I was pretty much kept into third person, you know, format to keep me from experiencing all the emotions involved. And what I experienced literally as I was laying in bed, a little man came in the room. He pretty much, I'm not sure whether or not he was controlling me or what, but I was led out of the room through a wall out into the front yard, pretty much, I guess, for better word of it, teleported to a ship that was evidently hovering overhead, and walked into a observation room. And from there, well, of course, you know, I'm freaking out. Didn't want to be there. Wanted to go back home, see my parents, get away from a completely little 4-year-old kid. You know, that's completely horrifying. And then that's when the mantis person came in. She was pretty much trying to calm me down, telling me it was going to be okay. I was going back home. You know, don't worry. And in the meantime, the Grays were pretty much prodding me and had stuck me in the leg. I'm not sure with what. But anyway, at that point, I jumped off the table and ran into another room. got chased into there. I remember the Manus person leaning underneath. I don't know if it was a console or a table or what. I just know that I'd got up under something. And they ended up, one of the grays had stepped out from behind her and had this, it looked like a little tube, you know, a little, about the size of a big pin, and pointed it at me, saw a flash of light. My body, the motor control was completely gone. I got taken back in the observation room, and they continued doing what they were doing. And a couple hours later, I was taken back home and dropped back in bed. And then after I came out of the paralysis, I was sitting there screaming, and my father came into the room asking me what was wrong. And I told him the story, and he told me it was okay. It was just a nightmare. And, you know, I know good and well what happened. It just, you know, I've had this situation going on all my life, and I don't know if that was the first time, but it was the most memorable because the images of the Manus person had stuck with me so hard that even in, you know, I'm 41 years old this year, and this year was the first year I'd actually had the regressions done. The image of that Manus has stuck with me all my life. I've had numerous instances of things happening to me throughout my life, through grade school, through teenage years, 20s, 30s. I mean, the last time I was abducted was this last April, as a matter of fact. So, I mean, it's an ongoing process. It just doesn't stop. I'm not too sure what's going on with it, and that's, like I said, there's a lot of others of me out there, I know, and they're having the same situation happen, and they have no outlet. And that was the whole purpose of me setting up the website. So
the whole idea of setting up a community to help people to deal with it and to have a forum where they feel comfortable expressing some of the trepidations they might have or just to share their feelings is a service that you feel folks need and could really appreciate, right?
Correct. And, you know, it's going to help them, but in the same manner, it's also, in a sense, helping me because, of course, I'm still dealing with it, you know. And like I said, until I know for a fact, until we all get together and start discussing the situation and actually come to a resolution, we're not going to be able to fix the situation at all. That's plain and simple.
So you talked about the Manus person, and you referred to her as a she. What makes you think it was a she, a female?
The voice I heard was a female-type voice. You know, when you're around people, you can pretty much feel the gender that's around you. I don't know if anybody out there knows exactly what I'm talking about, but you can walk in a room, and you don't necessarily have to look at a person's body to understand.
Sure.
So, you just either, you know, look in their eyes, or you can hear their voice, or just the general feeling of being around somebody. So that's pretty much the sensation I got from just the presence of that Manus being in the room, that it was a female type.
Okay, so you said your last abduction, or your most recent one that you know of, was last April. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that was quite interesting. I was at my parents' house sleeping on the couch. It was later in the night. I had woken up, and there was this 3.5-4 foot tall, ashen gray looking being standing in my room at the foot of my couch. And of course, I'm jumping up, going after it. You know, I'm frightened. You know, I'm scared. Something's in my house, and I'm wanting to get it. So I saw it start coming up off the couch, and next thing I know, I'm seeing the bright flash of light again, and I'm passing out. And so I sit there and turn around. We went back into regression with that, and found out that I was, before that situation had happened, I had been walked out of the house, walked in my backyard and out into the front yard and taken aboard the ship again. And they had used some kind of hypodermic needle or something and actually shoved it into my wrist and injected something and then brought me back. And I guess at that point, you know, they were using mind control or whatever. But I had been laid back down on the couch, and I'd been so angry from the experience, for some reason I was able to break loose. And that's when I became – I actually had the memory stayed with me from that point on before the regression. So I'm thinking the anger factor or high emotion factor has something to do with breaking the mind control. I'm not too sure, but that's one of the things I think I might have discovered.
Okay, so please forgive me if you mentioned this. I don't think you did. When you broke out of it, what did you do? Did you talk about that? Did I miss that? Did I miss what
no.
you tried?
I did tell him.
Okay, I'm sorry, folks. I've been trying to get Grant back on. We lost Grant here, so I apologize for that. Okay, so tell us about the regressions. I understand that the person who did the regressions is quite a wonderful guy, a wonderful hypnotist, and was just pretty damn effective.
As a matter of fact, Doug, our host here, is actually the one that did the regression. And
You knew that was coming.
Oh,
they
yeah.
knew that was coming.
Oh, yeah. The main thing that we were trying to do is not lead, you know, the regression in any manner. I've actually got the regressions on a site that eventually I'm going to post for everybody when the occasion arises. The biggest deal that we did that Doug tried to maintain for me was keep me in third party so I didn't experience the emotions, and try to take visually and emotionally or what I'm seeing out of the experience and be able to describe it and keep it with me once I came out of the regression. So it was a very interesting experience, very interesting.
Okay, so before we did the regressions, how much of it did you remember?
As far as the first one?
Yeah.
Okay, the first, the four-year-old experience, all I was remembering was flashes of the grays and flashes of the Manus person. And as far as the last one, the only thing I can remember out of that was waking up on my couch, having that entity in my room, and being knocked back out. That was all I could remember from it. Evidently, what they try to do is mask pretty much the entire experience, and there's only so much they can mask, especially when it becomes real emotional. Now, there's been other instances, of course, that I do remember what happened. And, like I said, those were the key points. The very first one at my 4 years of age was the key point of wanting to know why it started to begin with. The main thing that led me to believe I was being abducted was, like I said, during grade school, I would have situations where I would disappear and my parents wouldn't know where I was, and I'd pop back in, and then, how do you explain to your parents where you've been, And, of course, you get called a liar. But, later on during teenage years, I actually came across another gentleman by the name of Charles. He's a real good guy. He was another abductee, and we spent time together. That was another outlet for me, and we actually had times where we were taken. So, for a person that's an abductee, you're an abductee. I mean, there's no question. If it's been from the beginning of childhood on, you have there's a spot in your mind that you question constantly every day, did this really happen? It never stops, because you're questioning. It makes you question reality. You start questioning your own sanity. And, like I said, that's the main reason for this website. There's a lot of people out there, and that's going to be the big deal, They have problems dealing with this because everybody's telling them it's not real. They're telling them that they're liars. They're telling them that, they need to go see a psychologist. Well, now, as far as seeing a psychologist, as far as dealing with post-traumatic stress syndrome, I don't see a problem with that. But I'm here to tell you, and I do know some people, that are out there that have been, gone to psychologists over this, and they have actually been classified as schizoaffective or schizophrenic. And what it was is the psychologist didn't want to hear the, didn't listen to the actual story, didn't actually check to see if the personality of the person was normal. They didn't check for the post-traumatic stress syndrome, and they got classified as schizophrenic or schizoaffective disorder. And it's very tragic because at that point, you're already looking for somebody to trust.
Right.
And you automatically put that label on yourself and totally forget about it, And regardless of, okay, I'm schizophrenic now, it's still happening. No matter what level of medications these people take, it still happens. And they get no resolution from it, and actually it worsens the situation for them.
Yes, it does. And that's the thing that I want to talk about, and I'm going to talk about that in just a moment after the break. I want to talk about why your case is so compelling. So if you'll hang with me, and our listeners, we really invite your questions. If you want to call in, we'd love to hear from you. The numbers are on your screen, 347-945-7799, especially if you feel like you've had some abduction experiences and you would like to ask a question, either chat or phone. Either one's anonymous. All you really do is give us your name, first name, and address, phone number, social security number. Oh, I'm just kidding. Just keep it anonymous. That's fine. Hang with us, folks. I'll be back in just a moment after the break.
Hi, this is Doug Kelly, founder of the Spirit Team. We perform professional paranormal research and investigations at no charge to you. If you are experiencing mysterious events in your home or business, please contact us. We maintain your privacy and we won't think you're crazy. And if you're a paranormal researcher, we offer an accredited certification course that will enhance your knowledge of the paranormal field and raise credibility with your clients. For more information, please visit our website at spiritteam.org. That's spiritteam with one T, .org.
Is there a suppression of UFO and alien information by our government?
Does the soul continue on after we die?
Climb aboard the black ship of Paranormal Radio with your host, Captain Jack, on Contact Talk Radio and KRWM 106.9 FM HD3. Or visit WBRTRadio.com for more information.
Where will you find a professional association of paranormal researchers?
Paranexus.org.
Where can you get research training, share data, and network with other researchers?
Paranexus.org.
Where will you find a set of international standards for paranormal research groups?
Paranexus.org.
Paranexus is a global professional association of progressive paranormal investigators, parapsychologists, cryptozoologists, ufologists, and psychically gifted individuals focused on understanding the human condition through the scientific study of paranormal and psychical phenomena. And coming October 2008 to Tampa, Florida, the Paranexus Conference, a learning and networking event unlike any you've attended. Join us for 2 full days of innovative paranormal workshops. Participate in the Paranexus Challenge, where several teams will investigate a secret haunted location, observe a live table tipping seance, seance at the stroke of midnight. Join us for the Spirits and Shadows Costume Ball. See old friends, meet new friends, win prizes, and have fun.
Paranexus.org.
A place to learn, a place to share, a place to network, a place to come together. Join us now at Paranexus.org.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Doug Kelly with Paranexus Universe. Unfortunately, Grant has some technical difficulties and was not able to come back on, so we'll finish out the last segment here without Grant. But we are talking with Mike Jones, Spirit Team member, Paranexus member, and the owner of AlienAbductee.org. Welcome back, Mike.
Thank you.
And we're talking about some of Mike's experiences with abductions and his new website aimed at abductees. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about is what makes Mike's case so compelling, at least to me. And before I get into that, just a reminder, if you have a question for Mike, there's a chat room and there's also the call-in number. Call in and ask Mike a question or share your experience. We've only got about 25 minutes left, so... because this is an abbreviated hour, our original guests just didn't make it, so we're kind of doing an impromptu here. One of the things that I find compelling about Mike's case, and I've been researching this case now for, what, the last 3 months, perhaps?
Right.
And,
that's about
something like that. And Mike and I have talked, like, I don't know, maybe, what, 25, 50 times a week?
seems like that, doesn't it?
Yeah. So we've talked quite a bit, and the thing that I find the most compelling about Mike's case is that I'm not getting any red flags. I'm not getting any psychology at work here after the numerous times we've talked and that the two regressions that we did. I'm not getting any psychology. I'm not getting any kind of red flags for schizoaffective disorder, any kind of funky stuff. I just don't get that. Mike is a solid, balanced, grounded individual, and if there were some of these things going on, if he was presenting real well to me, there would be manifestations of any of the psychosis in other areas of his life, and there just isn't. And so, to me, the fact that he's so stable and grounded about this is one of the most compelling aspects to me. And that's essentially what you're trying to do with your site, AlienAbductee.org, is to help people to kind of find their, I don't know, their nirvana, their zen, their balance.
Exactly. It's finding a balance in your life again. For instance, I'll give you a good example. Pretty much throughout my entire life, I have been job jumping. I have not had a stable environment as far as having a place to live. You know, I was constantly running around paranoid, which I'm still paranoid. Don't get me wrong, I'm still paranoid about it. But the biggest deal is now, you know, I work for the aviation industry. I've actually got my life back together again, and it's a hard road. It's a very hard road to learn. You know, it's taken me until my 40s to figure out how to do this. And there are plenty of children out there that are experiencing this. And believe me when I tell you this, that is a living hell for a child to have to go through. There is no other frightening experience for any human on this earth outside of the Nazi death camps, in my opinion, of being picked up by something that's not even human. You're poked, prodded, you're treated like a lab rat, and then you're thrown back, and you have to deal with everybody in normal situations every day around you, and it's overwhelming. And for a child or a teenager, much less an adult, how do you go about that? You know, where do you start feeling normal again? And, the thing of it is a lot of these people are living split lives. And what I mean by that is part of them, when they come home, knows it's going to happen again. So they've already accepted the fact that it's going to happen again. Now, when after the experience, they have to turn on, I'm normal again, and go back to work. They have to go back and see their loved ones and not talk about the experience. It's the white elephant in the room syndrome. You know, it's busy breaking dishes, but everybody's talking about dinner or whatever. And, it's a lot of trust issues come up. For instance, like I said, with my own parents, the situation I ran into was being called a liar, you know, quit lying. It's okay, it's just a nightmare. I mean, there's all kinds of things, and you as the experiencer are being told in essence that you're crazy without being told you're crazy, and even though you're experiencing it, you know. So it produces a split, you know, and your personality in a way. It's just really a hard thing to deal with, and that's the main reason I've got this website set up. Is if people need to contact me, they can contact me through email or however, you know, to share their experiences. If they don't want to post on the forum, I understand. I went, through many, many years of being a hermit, pretty much, just to stay away from people out of the just sheer fright of, the next door neighbors pointing, oh, yeah, that's the abductee that lives over there, and giggling. You know, you're not taken seriously. You can't walk in public if people know who you are. It's really a hard, hard life to live. That's the main thing. That's what I want. You know, I want for everybody out there that's dealing with this to have a place to come find a center, find a balance again in their life. You know, I've went through this too many years myself, not to want to help somebody. It's just really horrible.
But there's even deeper. It reaches even deeper than that, because you've told me that you even have other concerns, family, starting
right.
Family.
Well, yeah, exactly. Here's the other thing. A lot of people, they're not real savvy to the abductee experience. It follows generations. For instance, my grandmother was involved in this also at an early age. Evidently, she'd been dealing with them. She called them star people. She had American Indian background, so I guess that's the best way she could come up with it. She was really an open-minded individual. But the thing of it is it follows family lines. So as an adult and you're wanting to start a family, you know, you take in considerations of what kind of life are you going to have for your children. Well, in the abductee's life, you don't get the choice. You know, you either bring your children into this experience or you don't. Well, for me, I chose not to. So I've had to live literally like that my entire life. I had a decent marriage to start with, and because of my own fears of having children, my marriage literally fell apart, and I had a divorce over it. So, you know, that's the thing people have to understand is abductee, there's two things an abductee deals with. Number one is having to make pretty much decisions on their situation and how they're going to carry themselves. The second consideration that they have to go about is, okay, who do I trust? Who can I share this with? And that's the hardest one of all, actually. You know, it's one thing to make a choice on where your path goes in life, but it's a whole nother on who you're going to share it with. And like I said, it's a pretty heavy weight to carry on your shoulders, you know, every day to have to worry about things like that.
Yes, it is. You know, and there's a lot of passion coming out. And that's the thing, you know, there are obviously people out there with schizoaffective disorder, schizophrenia. Yes, there are. They hallucinate. They hear voices. Yes, yes, yes. But when you get into an abduction case like this, that's not what's going on. You know, Mike's not hearing voices. He's not seeing hallucinations all the time. It's only on certain times. Isn't that correct, Mike?
As in, oh, yeah.
Abductions.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. The only time that I've ever had that situation happen was a mind control experience that I had. Actually, Whitley Strieber even talks about this. I had pretty much had a rendezvous with a girlfriend at a motel.
Okay, folks, we're back. Sorry about that. I guess my big first line of business this week is to find a Skype alternative. I've looked, haven't really found a lot, so if you're aware of anything that can do conference calling online, I sure appreciate an email. Just send it to dkelly, K-E-L-L-E-Y, at paranexus.org, and hopefully we can avoid these types of things in the future. But I appreciate you hanging with us. It is a pain, I know. So, Mike, you were talking just before we got dropped there.
Okay, yeah, I was discussing the instance that I actually found out what level of mind control I actually had. I had had a rendezvous I was supposed to have with a girl at a motel. It was my girlfriend, and come to find out later that I hadn't talked to her at all that day. That night, it appeared my girlfriend walked into the room. And later on found out that it wasn't my girlfriend, as it was a gray. And it's yeah, exactly. And then I call my girlfriend up worried that they've done something to her. Well, come to find out, she hadn't heard from me all day. She'd been trying to contact me. I was nowhere to be found. And so, you know, things like that make you question reality. You know, you start – it's just amazing the level of mind control they actually have over people.
So you thought you were with your girlfriend at the
time? Oh, it looked dead like her. I mean, everything, even smelled her perfume, even talked like her, the whole nine yards. And there was one point where her image literally phased back into a gray, and I pretty much lost my mind at that point. So, and I wasn't in a motel room. I was in a ship. So,
really?
Well, I mean, that's something I can figure out because,
a craft,
whatever you want to call it. You know, most motel rooms have pictures in the walls, have TVs, have chairs, all the amenities.
Right.
And thank you. And when I go back, you know, look at it now and look back on it, all that stuff wasn't there. There was only one chair. There was only one table. You know, the bed. For some reason, you know, the covers didn't move, you know, there's no pictures on the wall. There's only, you know, just little stuff like that. And, you know, so it's really a scary situation, you know. And so you're walking around at all times on guard, you know, you're hyper-vigilant. You have no choice but to be hyper-vigilant. It's wild, for a better word for it.
Well, yeah, you're questioning whether what you're seeing is real or if it's a screen memory or what.
Exactly.
Huh. All right, so we've got 10, 12 minutes left here. What would you recommend to other abductees in an effort to at least get some semblance of their life back?
Well, first off, you have to embrace the fact that you're scared. There is no – you can't sit there and live in fear the rest of your life. The biggest hurdle to have to take is embracing it and then letting it go. That was the main thing I had to work through. I mean, I don't – you know, like I said, I'm still scared. You can't get rid of that. I still stay paranoid. But the biggest part of it is understanding when you wake up in the morning that you're still alive. You know, that's the thing that I have noticed the most. I have never, through all the stuff I've actually done research on, nobody's ever been killed. tortured. It'd be, a nice way to put it, but nobody's ever died. So the thing to remember is, you know, in all likelihood, you're going home. You're going to be able to wake up in the morning. You're still going to be alive. Realize the fact that the abductors are who they are. Don't give them, regardless what you're being told on the ship or by your abductors, do not by any means trust them. I've been told many times over, for instance, that I chose to do this. When I asked them why they were doing what they were doing, they told me that I chose to let this happen. And I don't, for the life of me, there's no way in hell I would have chose this. There's other times I've been told, this is for my own good. Well, for whose good? I'm going back, shocked out of my wits and then having to deal with normal everyday life. So, like I said, the biggest thing you have to overcome is your fear. Understand what's going on, embrace it, and understand that it's, in all likelihood, not going to stop. So, at that point, you need to start observing what's going on. So maybe, you can actually figure ways out, perhaps, maybe to resolve it, maybe to stop it, maybe to actually, at one point, who knows, interact. You can never tell. There's no telling what's going to come out of it. I'm myself making it a point at any given moment, if I can break free, I'm going to more than likely try to attack one of them and take them down. I'm that angry about it. It's nothing nice. You just have to take back control of your life and understand that no matter what they do, you have your life to live. You more or less, it's not turning your back on them, but you have to understand there's that time in your life that's going to happen, and then there's the rest of your life, and make the most out of the rest of your life. That's the only thing, point that really is there, is you've got the rest of your life to live. Don't, live it in fear. There's no reason, So that's main point.
Good. And that's the thing, that the passion needs to come out. The passion needs to come out, because if we're going to make any difference in this, if we're going to make any inroads into this abduction phenomena, we've got to get people together. We've got to rally the troops, so to speak. And that's one of the things that Mike and I have talked about so much, that it's the passion. And you know what? Here's my whole thing with this. Look, we may not know a lot more today than we did 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, with any certainty. But there's obviously something going on with this abduction phenomena. You take otherwise stable, grounded people, and they are claiming that something's going on here. And what do you make of that? The skeptics, the debunkers, I don't want to hear from them, because they are so blind to anything and everything that they're not even worth talking to. They're not open-minded, they're closed-minded. And yet you take the other side of that coin, the total absolute believers, that everybody who claims it is true, that's not open-minded either. We really need to say, it's about time that we as a human race got together, we took a stand, and we figured this thing out. Because one thing I believe in is the indomitable power of the human spirit. And if not us figuring this out, then whom? Let's work together, abductees, abduction researchers. Let's work together to see what we can do to stop this heinous boundary violation of being abducted. There's
yeah,
my
that's,
little rant.
That's another point I would like to make. A lot of these abduction researchers, I'm not too sure what's on their agenda. I understand, having personal ownership of what you've been working on all your life, but to actually come to a resolution on this situation, in any, you know, in, as a matter of fact, any paranormal investigation for that matter, everybody needs to quit staying in their little bitty cubby holes and start collecting data and comparing data, because nobody's going to get an answer when you keep it to yourself. You know, that there's no way to actually get an answer when you're looking at it from one side of the fence. You know, that's the biggest point I want to make. The abduction researchers are very bad about it. You know, they may email or talk to each other, but as far as them sharing their data, I've never, that's unheard of. You know, that's their baby. They want to go out there and, you know, make it, I guess, make a name for themselves perhaps, or, you know, like I said, it's a personal thing for them because it's their baby. They, you know, have went through the growing pains of getting where they're at, so they don't want to share. If they are true to who they are and what they say they are, they need to start sharing data and start working together, or nobody's going to get anywhere with what they're doing. You know, this is just like beating a dead horse. This is, it's ridiculous.
Yes, I agree. All right, we've talked a little bit tonight about the abduction experience. And we urge anybody who's listening to this either live or in the archives, contact Mike Jones. You can contact him through his site at alienabductee.org. It's a newer site, so he's launching it. Join it. Be a part of it. Send him an email. You know, contact him and see what you can do to add to that, as well as learn in the process and learn about some of the different methods and share your experiences, share what you're going through, because that's so important. One of the things Mike's trying to do here is to gather data, but in a different light. And that whole light is, yes, the situation's going on. What can we do individually to not be in the victim role anymore, at least mentally, take our power back, you know, stand tall and let that indomitable power of our spirit come through. You know, we're looking for answers. Everybody is. We're really trying to rally. So if you do have abduction experiences, then we would love to hear from you. And so, Mike, we're coming up on the end here. One of the things that I just was contacted by Bill Ryan and Kerry Cassidy from Project Camelot. Apparently the time was off by an hour or something. So what I'm going to go ahead and do is, and Mike, if you want to hang with me, you're more than welcome to. If you don't, that's fine. I'm going to go to a break, and I'm going to bring Bill and Kerry on, and we're going to go ahead and finish out the remaining hour.
Okay.
With them, let me just tell them that that's what we're going to do, and that way we can talk about some of Project Camelot's various activities. So, folks, if you'll hang with us, we'll be back in just a moment, and we'll have Kerry Cassidy and Bill Ryan on in just a moment. And Mike, thanks so much for taking your time and talking about your stuff and filling in for us.
No problem.
And Mike's website, again, is alienabductee.org. So, folks, hang with us just for a moment, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Doug Kelly, founder of the Spirit Team.
Give me one quick second here, and I'm going to play that. Okay, I'm going to get to my page with you guys on it so I can briefly tell a little bit about you. Let's see.
If you want to get set up and call us back, you can do that.
No,
too.
We're about ready to go on, so just hang tough
okay.
with me. Okay. I'm not going to go into a long spiel about your bios because of the time, and we've only got about less than an hour left, so hang tough with me just a moment. All quiet. Find Skype again, I'd be happy.
In the night, in the shadows, in the sky, it's Paranexus Universe.
And welcome back, everybody. This is Doug Kelly, Paranexus Universe. We're going to continue our show for another hour. We were fortunately able to get with Bill Ryan and Carrie Cassidy of Project Camelot. And I'm not going to go into a long bio because of the time constraints, but I would like to welcome Bill and Carrie to the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
It's a real pleasure to be here, Doug. I've got a strong cup of coffee in my hand. It is 3 o'clock in the morning here in central Switzerland, and I would like to say a big hello to all of your listeners. It's the first time we've been on the show.
Yes, and Carrie, where are you at? You in L.A.?
I'm in Santa, California,
yeah.
And it's just 6 o'clock here, so I'm wide awake.
Well, I appreciate, Bill, especially you staying up so late. I know that's such a tough thing. Tell us about Project Camelot. What started that whole thing?
Okay. Let me give my elevator speech on this one.
All right.
We're like a kind of barefoot disclosure project, if you like. We're kind of like two ordinary people, except that like you and many of your listeners, we're not really ordinary. We just pretend to be sometimes. And we basically met up a couple of years ago. We picked up a consumer-grade camcorder, and we went around to one or two people who we knew or had the fortune to be linked up with to record video interviews, very basic.
You still with me, anybody? I'm not sure who we have yet with us. I think I may have lost Bill.